Sorry about that, folks. I had to give away a CD. Lucky winner, Mr. Drew Holmes, called in and won a copy of the Chameleon Project CD. That's what it's all about, folks, here at CGM. Giving free stuff to you, the listener. In other science news, patients describe it as like being buried alive. The worst part is not the pain, they say, although that can be excruciating, but the horror of being paralyzed, unable to talk, and yet totally aware of what the surgeon is doing to you. Suffering like this could be greatly reduced. A large international trial has proved that a simple awareness device called a BIS monitor can cut the number of cases of awareness during surgery by 80%. The device is already used to monitor the depth of anesthesia in some hospitals in the States, but is not used very much elsewhere. A trial run by Paul Miles in Australia is being done right now. Kate Leslie is running the project. She says that the evidence is so compelling that BIS monitoring should always be used during the 5% or so operations where there is a high risk of awareness. The other experts argue that it should be used for 50% of operations where there is a chance of awareness occurring. Other anesthetists, that's a hard word to say, man, argue that the BIS monitor and others like it need to be more accurate before they are routinely employed. Disturbingly, though, it seems that many anesthetists do not even recognize the need for a monitor because they grossly underestimate the likelihood of patients becoming aware. Awareness during surgery is not as rare as those about to go under the knife might hope. After around 1 in 1,000 operations done under the general anesthetic, a patient will have some recollection of the operation. For many, the experience will be fleeting and not even particularly disturbing, but up to half will have a crystal clear awareness of the surgeon's conversations, the procedure, and even the pain. For some, the experience can be devastating. The BIS monitor is a kind of electroencephalogram that detects electrical activity in the brain via a single electrode on the forehead. This activity depends on metabolism, memory function, and the state of consciousness, which are all affected by anesthetics. The raw readout is a complex mixture of different brain waves. The BIS monitor uses a routine mathematical method for studying complex waveforms called bispectral analysis to produce an index of awareness. 100 is wide awake. Between 40 and 60 is recommended as a good score for being anesthetized. The BIS monitor...
What does zero mean?
Dr. Weiss is here in the on-air studio right now. The BIS monitor monitoring has been used in the States since 1996, mainly to work out depth of anesthetization to ensure that patients do not receive too much anesthetic. In trials... the researchers in Australia followed 2,500 patients undergoing operations in 24 hospitals in Australia, New Zealand, British Isles, and Hong Kong. All the patients were considered to have high risk of awareness during surgery, either because they had experienced it before or because they were undergoing procedures where light anesthesia is preferable, such as heart surgery or a C-section. Patients were randomly assigned to either a BIS monitoring or routine care where anesthetists try to spot awareness by looking out for sweating, movement, and increased blood pressure and heart rate. At 4 hours one day and 30 days after surgery, each patient was interviewed. The team defined awareness as verifiable recall of events, memory of surgeons' conversations, for example, when they're talking about like their laundry or their vacation are going on next week.
Or they how they missed a vein or a blood vessel or something.
Whoops, better clean that up there, assistant. Yeah. The evidence had to satisfy three independent adjudicators. Let's see, 11 patients in the routine care group experienced awareness, whereas only 2 did in the BIS group. Very interesting. Can you imagine? That's like a nightmare. Dr. Weiss, are you familiar with this phenomenon of people like that are having major surgery that are under an anesthetic yet completely aware and feeling all the pain as well?
Well, you have to... I'm not sure when they say sensitive to pain. Does that mean it was a painful sensation or you could feel the knife cutting or whatever? Because there are a fair number of surgeries where they actually want you conscious. I had hernia surgery. Long ago now.
Right.
Nevertheless, they wanted me conscious, if possible, to report any problems. And so I could feel the knife cutting into me in fairly intimate places. And no, it wasn't painful. You were just you could sense it. But they hit a nerve that hadn't been deadened, and apparently, although I don't have a clear recollection of it, I screamed then, and they put me right out for about 5 minutes. When they say light anesthesia, they want you responsive. For a heart patient, they want to know if anything's going wrong because you're sensitive to it. Excuse me, I've got a horrible cough left from a cold that I can't seem to shake. I mean, I can see a reason for an awareness monitor if the person really has to be out. But there are so many surgeries that you'd think would be dramatic and you'd want to be completely out where they actually want you awake. If they're doing brain surgery, they intentionally don't want you out because they want to know if they hit somewhere that they weren't supposed to hit.
But you don't feel anything when they're cutting into your brain.
You don't feel pain.
Yeah,
you don't feel pain at all when they're in the brain. They're actually touching to say, you know, what do you sense? And if they're in the optic cortex and touching the surface of it, you'll see flashes of light as nerves are forced to fire.
Right.
And they'll actually be able to trace where they are in the optic cortex by what you report seeing. You know, was it in the left field, the right field, straight ahead, up, down, sideways?
I guess. I don't know. Just this whole trip just really freaks me out. Makes me want to be like Rastafarian or Jehovah Witness or something and not want to have any of these major medical procedures done on me just on the off chance I may lie there paralyzed but completely aware and feeling the knife slicing my flesh or something, man.
The whole idea is you don't want pain. And so they're supposed to eliminate pain. And if the doctor makes a mistake, you don't want to hear him say, oops, I didn't mean to cut that.
Well,
but otherwise, it's of advantage to the doctors and to you, I think, to be aware of what's going on.
Yes. There's,
maybe some people probably wouldn't like it. They say, put me out. I don't want to know a damn thing until it's over. But I guess maybe it's the biologist in me. I'm fascinated by what's going on, and I really want to be aware if I can.
You're a weirdo, man. Like,
well, you don't have to tell me that. I know that.
Like in the article, I didn't read it noted that most anesthesiologists don't even believe that this phenomenon occurs. They don't believe that anyone's actually aware and feeling this pain when they're put under. A lot of them are resistant to using this monitoring device, are resistant to the entire concept of patients being aware while under anesthetic.
You'd think as doctors they would be aware of the difference between, for example, deep sleep and light sleep, and that you can be aware, not responding particularly to it, but aware of sounds when you're, quote, asleep.
Right.
As a matter of fact, in some people, it's very highly developed. It's called the preconscious, where the sound is going into your brain and being absorbed, but you're not responding to it or really conscious of it coming in. I used to have that ability when I was in high school. I would play music while I was studying and not really hear the music, able to concentrate on studying, but able to replay the music in my head when I went to sleep later at night. I'd heard it all. I had actually memorized large chunks of it, even when I wasn't really aware of it.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, if only I could have learned more. Maybe I would have been a musician instead of a scientist. I don't know.
I got time for one more quick little science news story here. The news says that bed bugs are on the increase in many developed countries, including Britain. The tiny blood-sucking insects were thought to have been virtually eradicated some 20 years ago, but an expert writing for the Institute of Biology believes they may have developed a resistance to pesticides. Indeed, since 1995, there's been an unexpected increase in reports of infestation in Britain, the States, and other developed countries. Bed bugs measure about 5 millimeters across and thrive in warm surroundings. They make their homes around mattress seams in bed frames, behind headboards or skirting boards, and within furniture and electrical fittings. Even when deprived of blood, individual bugs can live for more than a year, allowing infestations to persist in empty properties or in stored furniture. And when the conditions are right and food is plentiful, their numbers can spiral out of control.
Now you know why one of those things your parents said to you when you were going to sleep was, don't let the bed bugs bite.
Previously, sprays killed many types of these insects, regardless of whether they were the primary target. But sophisticated modern forms are more highly targeted, only killing the insects that are designed to be deployed against. Thus, the theory has it that bed bugs are less likely to suffer collateral damage from sprays designed to kill off other pests, such as cockroaches and ants. However, it does appear that the bugs are becoming resistant to all kinds of pesticide. So maybe you're going to see bed bugs back in your neighborhood.
It's the chemical arms race.
Yes.
What happens is if you don't kill them all, the ones that are left were selected for relative resistance to that chemical, whatever it was. So you call Orkin back in again, or whoever it is. That was not a commercial for Orkin. And soon enough, you find that their sprays are not effective because the bugs that are left are those that are resistant. It's a standard problem, whether you're talking about agricultural pests or those that are in your house. Why do you think pesticide companies are constantly coming up with new products? Because cockroaches are the official test organism in the U.S. No, seriously.
Yeah.
I knew the man who raised cockroaches for the Department of Agriculture that were used to test new pesticides. Because cockroaches are among the most resistant beasts.
Right.
And so when you find something new that works on cockroaches, it ought to work on just about everything.
If it kills a cockroach, it'll kill anything else.
Not necessarily, but pretty much.
Pretty much. Very interesting. Very interesting. So bed bugs are coming back, folks. Be prepared. Just another little bit of Mother Nature coming back at you.
Yeah, and just remember, it may not be a bed bug. My family is not terrified of spiders, but every once in a while, one of the members of the family, not me, ever, they just don't seem to like me, will get a bite that'll just swell up overnight, and it's probably a spider. Keep an eye out for those spiders on the walls.
Like, why are spiders always biting people when they sleep at night?
They're not coming down to bite you. They're crawling around, and as you roll around, you scare the shit out of the spider, and it bites you defensively. Spiders are not predatory on humans. They are always... I should never say always. That's always the absolute word is always dangerous for science. Essentially always.
Right,
biting
right.
Because they are feeling endangered. And biting is their defense.
Right, right.
Well, so sleep still at night and they'll crawl right across you and never bother you. And you won't even know they were there.
Right.
Now, does any of us sleep very still at night? I doubt it.
No, we're always rolling around. CJAM FM 91.5. You've been listening to the In Theory program for yet another Thursday afternoon, April the 15th, I think the date is today, or the 16th.
No, it's 15th.
15th today, this year of our Lord 2004. Be sure to stay tuned. 20th Century Limited will be rolling in here to take over in a few minutes with Mike Weiss as your host to play some modern classical compositions or performances of one sort and another. And don't forget about the jammies, folks. We're doing that party Saturday night at the Avalon Front in downtown Windsor, Ontario, Canada. It's going to be a good party. The Chameleon Project are performing. You know, if you can come out, we invite you to come on out and hang out with the CJAM crowd while we give thanks to all our dedicated volunteers. Have a nice weekend, folks, and be sure to tune in next Thursday when we do it all over again.